The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is where you head on over. All right, listen, folks, this is really, really simple. You go to patreon.com/1900wrestling. You pledge whatever you want, right? And at a dollar or more, you get into the Discord. This is worth it by itself. A curated collection of the best wrestling fans on the planet so you can watch every live event with cool people. It's not a gigantic Facebook group where you got to shout to have yourself heard. We're all just going to be one dude who's posting 50,000 times. I think Roman sucks. Does anyone else agree? It's just a cool place where cool people hang out and talk. And you support the show in the process. 1900 Wrestling on Patreon. That is patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to 1900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory.
We got ourselves a rare Wednesday show here after all of the Raw, the go-home shows for Raw and SmackDown, actually, too. So,
well, no, go-home for Raw, although...
Yeah, oh, that's true, yes.
Although it's kind of a go-home for...
But there's now some weird crossover, isn't there?
Yeah, like, well, because the Superstar Shake-Up happened, and I don't... Dare I say it? Willie, I don't know if they exactly had planned everything that they wanted to do before they did the Superstar Shake-Up.
Yeah. I think some of it, they were like, oh, yeah, and this guy will go there, and this guy. And then people were like, wait a minute, after they actually aired Raw and SmackDown. They were like, hold on. Isn't there a feud going on that we got to resolve? Things are a little bit funky right now.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm just going to go with the flow.
I'm
enjoying a lot of the stuff that's going on.
We have the SmackDown champion, Randy Orton, not defending the title against Bray Wyatt.
No, because he is not the number one contender.
Bray Wyatt is not the number one contender. No. Jinder Mahal.
And why would he be?
The Maharaja is.
Jinder Mahal getting a massive push in the wake of... the internet steroid allegations.
I know.
And also giving Finn Balor a concussion. They were like, you know what? Push that man to the moon.
Everybody else is on Instagram just, you know, tut-tutting Jinder Mahal. And, you know, meanwhile, Vince McMahon is just like, do I tap it twice to like? How many times do I tap it to like the photo? That is the truth, man. Jinder Mahal is blowing up in so many more ways than one. We're not going to spend a lot of time recapping the shows because we don't normally do that on this show. God knows there's plenty of shows that will walk you through match by match. But we did want to talk about something that was on our list when we were going to do this Monday that we should mention just because it was so fun. And that is the Braun versus Kalisto dumpster match. What were your expectations going in to this match?
So, I'll say this. There's been a lot of stuff recently that has been done before in WWE, right?
Sure.
And they're doing a lot of it with Braun Strowman. So I very much expected dumpster being thrown off of the stage. I definitely expected that.
Well, especially since... It was the exact same dumpster. I mean, probably not the same dumpster, but the same make and model
same thing.
Dumpster.
Yeah, exactly.
As the one that the New Age Outlaws pushed Chainsaw
with the
Charlie
yellow like crank and, tie and, thing on it and all that.
Yeah.
It was like the whole thing. And then of course we had like the week before you had Braun and Big Show breaking the ring right with the superplex off the top rope or second rope, whatever
it was.
But
a decade Big Show spot.
Yes, exactly. But it's still, dude, that spot still is awesome.
Oh, my God. I mean,
it's amazing.
I swear to God. And I know that so much of this is its own cottage industry of bitching about wrestling fans and bitching about wrestling podcasts and everything. But two dinosaurs threw themselves through a ring, and then an angry, farty, diaper full of poop dinosaur accidentally lost a match to a smaller person and destroyed him.
By the way, they made it pretty believable, too, that Kalisto could actually do it, because the way they kept having him, like, almost get there, almost go into the dumpster, he was getting beat mercilessly, but he just kept holding on little by little.
It was fun!
It was his pride. Lucha means to fight, Justin. Did you know that?
Oh, I mean, I'll tell you what. I did after that. They debut new music. They debut a new outfit for Kalisto.
Less colorful, I thought it was really efficient.
It was a really efficient way to kind of make Kalisto a little something more than he was before.
Yeah. Let's build Kalisto up while we're also still building Braun as this monster heel who just destroys everything in his wake whenever he's mad about something.
And
right?
That's the thing. It's like, Braun's no less of a monster. Kalisto shows a little heart. Hey, man. All good times. And for anybody...
So, I was watching some of the What Culture stuff, because they do their ups and downs thing about everything.
Yeah.
And he did make a good point that in the past, the only way they seemed to be able to build monsters was to have them just go undefeated for, like, ever. Right? I mean, Rusev. This is what they did with Rusev. They just had him go undefeated forever.
Who will ever stop people? Insert monster?
Exactly. And you just have him, like, it's... And they start with, you know, one jobber... And then eventually they're beating like two jobbers at a time. And now it's a real wrestler.
And then eventually it's one black guy, then another black guy, and then a third black guy.
And they keep moving him up slowly and slowly. It's like, okay, and finally then John Cena beats him, right? Yes. So then that's the story of the jobber, right? But or the of the monster. Now we've got Braun coming in and he's lost. And it's fine because he's just – it's not with the in-ring stuff. Like he lost – technically to Sami Zayn in their like 10-minute whatever. Now he lost to Kalisto in a dumpster match, but he hasn't really like been pinned or anything like that. It's not like he looked weak ever.
Well, and
just losing these weird stipulation matches they keep throwing him in.
It plays into his character because he's oafish. He's not evil. He's oafish. And he's vulnerable. I'll tell you what, it's the reason why he's eventually going to be a really good face.
Yeah,
because there is this element of all you need is somebody making fun of him. Like if you had 90s Rock, 90s Rock could make Kane a face. Kane is supposed to be this disfigured, awful, you know, demon from hell. But if the Rock is making fun of his voice and making fun of all this other stuff, now you feel sympathy for him, right?
Also, the other way you could turn him face is like. If he's protecting somebody, right?
Sure.
So if he starts like looking over somebody, right? Then they could do that thing too.
I think he's great. This Braun push is going about as well as you could possibly hope. That match was super fun. If you don't think it's fun, honestly, jump in the lake of reincarnation and come out as somebody that's tolerable.
The thing I will say though, and it is true, is that when they have these things like dumpster matches, It always is. I'm always a little concerned going in, like, okay, please don't make this stupid, because they do have a history of doing some stuff where they're like, it's a thing, and then it's stupid, right? And most of the time though, I still can find the enjoyment. But the problem is, because I think me and you can find the enjoyment.
Sure.
I think
me
and you have progressed as wrestling fans. Past we've gone like, you know, Mark. To smark to like something beyond those, right?
Where we're
like,
we
understand what's going on.
Transcend
but we enjoy
with us.
It regardless.
Sure.
Yeah. So I could do that, but I always am like a little worried. Like, if, you know, I'm trying to get my buddy Ty to like wrestling, right? So I was showing him like clips of like Ricochet the other night because he, you know, his whole thing is like, well, it's just all fake. And I'm like, well, just watch this guy do stuff.
Yeah.
And tell me that what he's doing like isn't amazing and crazy. Now, then if I tell him, like, all right, now, here's what they're going to do. They're going to try to throw each other in a dumpster. He's going to be like, what? This is fake, man. I'm going to be like, damn it. So, like, that's the only thing that concerns me. But this was really well done,
I think. But also, it's like, there is always going to be an element of wrestling that is hampered storytelling-wise by the fact that you had to see the previous chapter to understand the current chapter.
Yeah.
So, like, big, massive guy trying to throw little guy into a dumpster, if you come in cold, is going to look ridiculous. But if you know that... big guy was frustrated in the previous chapter and grabbed a random small guy because he is a bully and he's picking on people that are smaller than him.
Sure.
And he threw him into a dumpster to signify dominance, only then to be dominated himself by somebody who was actually bigger than him. Then all of a sudden everything kind of ties together.
It is true. This is the thing that is the hardest to explain about wrestling, is that sometimes there is no true explanation for this. Like, sometimes there's just, it just is. Like, this just is, and don't worry about it, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why is Kalisto not in 205 Live? Well, that just is. Don't worry about it, right? Well, he's the guy who gets beat up by the big guys, and then he shows a lot of heart.
There's the great, that's the kind of thing you don't have to worry about because wrestling isn't
sure.
real.
Yeah.
Shout out to what's his butt at Up to My Knees on Twitter. Here is the big story though this week, and we will get to it in a second. I think we do have a couple more things we want to go over, but boom, our favorite movie ever is getting made. We don't even know what it is. We don't even know who's going to be in it, but the Vince McMahon biopic is coming. Officially announced that TriStar Sony is going to make it. It will be directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, who co-directed Focus, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, and Crazy Stupid Love.
Like, this isn't gonna be like a WWE Network exclusive.
No.
This is a feature film, ladies and gentlemen.
Feature
this
film.
Is gonna be
WWE is involved.
They are.
Yeah,
we got to talk about what that means too. But
Vince McMahon has signed on.
Yes.
So this will. I mean, the question is, whenever somebody officially signs on, you always worry that it's going to be too sanitized. Right.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's the case with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon invents things about himself that are horrifying and disgusting, right?
But now, would the movie be better if he was completely hands-off and WWE was hands-off and it was just somebody, like, kind of a scathing yet also loving look at a person who's kind of amazing and also insane? Like, do you think that might be better? Or do you think, like, him being like, oh, Geraldo's not on this movie? Like, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff I worry about, right? Because I kind of want to just see, like, the full story, because it is insane.
Yeah, I guess, if you look at what he puts out there in the world, you kind of got to wonder, you know, if anything, it will be too treacly. I think that, like, what Vince McMahon, you know, there's the famous story that came out when Borat guy, was going to do the Freddie Mercury biopic.
Yeah.
Right? He did an interview where, he's talking to, he wouldn't name what surviving member of Queen said this during their discussions of getting the licensing rights to all the Queen songs, which you kind of need to make the biopic about Freddie Mercury.
Sure.
But the one surviving member says, yeah, and really that's only half the story. I mean, Freddie should die about halfway through because the real story starts after he dies. And it's it's like, yeah, or maybe not.
Yeah.
All right. maybe not. And so you would obviously, whenever anybody's living and they're making a biopic, you have to worry about, like, okay, are there things that they want to overemphasize that the rest of society doesn't find interesting? For Vince McMahon, that would probably be stuff like his relationship with his dad, his relationship with his brother, who he didn't know until later in life.
Sure.
Like, you know, there's a lot of those little things that we probably don't care about unless you're super deep into finding out everything you possibly
can.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, yeah. To me, like, I don't know. You definitely want to see him as a kid, right? And then you want to see the whole thing of, because he didn't meet his dad until he was like 12, right? Like, that's the story.
Well, the rumor, so the big story's there. If we're going to put this together, all right,
that's
come on.
The big story.
Let's write this biopic here. So, if we're going to start with that,
I got some casting here too. So,
okay.
So we can go through that as it happens. But,
all right.
All right. So let's start there. That's definitely where it starts, right? So, He's a little kid living in a trailer park, right? That's
so
the deal.
Little kid living in a trailer park in the Carolinas. He apparently had a very abusive stepdad, one that he has said on the record that he would like to have killed. He would have liked because like the stepdad beat the shit out of his mom and stuff like that.
Sure. All right. So
there's that.
I got a casting for the mom and stepdad.
Ah, all right. Abusive stepdad.
I've got a casting for this. Now this is a little out of left field. This is like Oliver Stone, Natural Born Killers, tongue in cheek.
Sure.
Casting.
Yeah.
Mom and stepdad played by Roseanne Barr and John Goodman.
All right. I'm in for Roseanne, although God forbid you try to pitch Roseanne as his mom. I'm sure to Vince, like, oh, God, so big. I don't know. I'm gonna hold off on John Goodman.
Okay.
Just because I feel like we got to fit in wrestler cameos where we can.
True. But I'm not going.
Abusive look, stepdad. Come on. If there is going to be a wrestler cameo, it's going to be his abusive stepdad.
All
right,
true. But see, I don't have like any wrestlers in my cast really. I'm gonna try.
All right, I'm just gonna pencil. It's in pencil. You can erase it if you want.
Sure.
I'm just gonna go ahead and scratch in there, Alberto Del Rio.
Right oh,
there. Abusive stepdad. Hey.
Alberto Del Rio makes his return
as abusive stepdad.
Funnily enough, signs on to play abusive stepdad.
Yeah,
Vince McMahon.
Exactly, and he's still just in it, and he's yelling about Triple H still. Like, sure, you know,
it's just him periscoping him beating like his mom.
Paige is in the movie, weirdly enough. Like,
God. All right, sounds good.
Stop filming. He loves Periscope.
So then
do
you have Paige play his mom then, I guess, at that point?
No. All right, so...
No, you don't go that far? All
so right. I like Roseanne. Yeah, because you need somebody who is going to nurture the initial, sure. the kindling that is Vince McMahon, because he then goes on to have a very combative relationship with his father, his real father as well.
Yeah.
So all right, he now goes up. Do we like any kid actors? Any kid actors for young?
Man, I don't really know. Like who are the hot kid actors right now? Carl from The Walking Dead. I don't know who's like
Carl. Maybe is Carl too? Although, yeah, Carl.
He's supposed to be playing a 12-year-old. Carl's like a teenager now, right? So.
Find it.
You gotta have him at the moment when he actually meets his dad, right?
Yeah, throw a dart at the board on the Disney Channel, and we'll find our kid.
I don't really know who's out there as far. I don't watch a lot of Nickelodeon.
One of the kids from the Logan movie that they find in the woods, you know, one
sure.
of those. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So now we move on to the moment when Vince meets his father. Father, of course, running the then WWWF.
Yes.
Capital Wrestling out of D.C. and eventually New York. Who do we like for big Vince?
Now, I struggled with, and I'm looking at my list. I actually don't have... Vince Sr. on my list. Like, I remember I was looking at pictures of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, because he's got that kind of like kind old man look, you know? So there's a few guys that were like, okay, these are obvious, but they're all like dead.
So he kind of has.
I was struggling to find this one. Do you have a good one here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and bring up a picture.
Bring up a photo of him real quick, because there are definitely like. And then there was some other guys where I was like, I already have.
Oh, that's what, John Voight, right?
Well, see, I have John Voight.
You as cast John Voight as someone else.
I have John Voight as John Laurinaitis. Yeah. So yeah, John Voight definitely makes sense.
How about Martin Sheen? Do you like Martin Sheen for this?
Oh, Martin Sheen would be fantastic.
Martin Sheen would be the way
to
go.
That's perfect.
Right?
Yeah. That's actually perfect right there. There's lots of good options, but you have to get that kind of like kindly old man look going a little bit. Because,
he's distant, because this has got to be your big third act, right, is depending on where they want to put everything, maybe you fudge the timeline a little and you have Vince McMahon Sr. die, like, the night before the first WrestleMania or something like that. Like,
sure. Or, like after he finds out about the idea. Because there was I saw some people commenting on, like, Reddit about how the movie should just be the lead-up to WrestleMania 1. And, like, the final scene is him being like, welcome to WrestleMania, and then credits, you know?
Yeah.
Because we all know what happened after that, apparently. But I don't know, man. There's a lot that happened after that. So I personally kind of want to see it go into, not all the way up to now, but at least up until, like, Monday Night Wars are over, WWE becomes, like, the number one thing.
I mean, I,
like,
think that's...
by far.
So I guess if this were to be... All right, here, let's just totally rip off the Aaron Sorkin, Steve Jobs movie, right?
Okay.
And that all takes place at, like, three key launches, the three keynotes that they surreptitiously
wrap. So instead it's just like a one-man show done on film?
No. So it's always, it's all people backstage and everything.
Yeah.
So you
it's
see
just him conversating with important people in his life. Yeah.
All right, so if we're going to pick the three biggest moments of Vince McMahon's life that we are going to wrap this movie around, it's got to be WrestleMania 1.
WrestleMania 1. Yeah.
Right? The steroids trial where he was facing prison time.
Sure.
And then what would be the pivotal moment of the Monday Night Wars?
Well, it'd be when he actually bought the, like, when he came out on Nitro, right? I mean,
yeah, that was kind of the end, though, too.
It was the end. I mean, that's the thing. There's not, like, a pivotal moment. That's an ongoing story.
No,
right?
It's got to be the screw job.
Yeah, the screw job. Yeah.
It's got to be.
So, I mean, I've got, like, Bret Hart in here. Like, this is the thing. I just got a lot of guys in here.
All right, well, here,
like,
we go. Here we go. All right. So you just start pitching me guys, and I'll start weaving it around that story.
Okay. So, well, first, I think we should start by casting Vince himself, right?
Vince. All right. So I got a couple
Vince,
ideas. This
then,
is a big one.
So I got a young Vince, and I got older Vince, right?
All right.
Because I think you need the young Vince when he's, like, really young and he's just an announcer. You know what I mean?
What a maneuver!
Or we think he's an announcer, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there was a time where he was, like, really young and he was just, like, on, like, the, you know, the it was still kind of his dad's promotion type of thing. That's Matt Damon. I got Matt Damon in that role.
Wow. Matt Damon's young Vince.
He's got a similar face, even though he's a little older, but he could kind of look, he's like, Matt Damon's actually like 48 or something like that.
Yeah.
47, 48. But he still kind of looks like that, and he's got kind of like a bigger head and he can look bulky, right? Like,
I kind of like Matt Damon either way, but interesting. All right, so then who do you have for older Vince?
And then I have for actual Vince, Gary Busey.
Oh, Gary Busey.
You're going to have to cut down on those teeth a little bit, but Gary Busey is an actor, man. He could do this. But I know there's lots of other good ideas out there for old Vince, but I just like, I'm like, who's crazy as fuck? Gary Busey.
So that's who you see as Vince McMahon, right?
He's got
to
do some stuff to the hair, yeah. And he's got to not be making that face. But he could definitely do an old Vince, man. He could definitely do an old Vince.
All right, here's my pick. I saw a lot of good ones. I like him for the entire movie. Ladies and gentlemen, reading a letter. This is Michael Shannon reading a letter from a sorority head that went viral, and he did a dramatic reading of it for Funny or Die. I'm just going to cut into the middle of it here.
All right.
We're going to invite Zeta over. Would you be happy? Would you?
No, you wouldn't! So why the fuck all right. do you do it to them? First of all, you
there
shouldn't
you
be post-gaming out of the
crowd. I mean, like, I feel like
it's good.
Michael Shannon's got the rage that simmering. Because here's what I think you need in a Vince McMahon casting. Like, Vince McMahon is the, like, Vince McMahon, Walt Disney looks in a mirror and sees the evil version of himself. It's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all that Walt Disney. There are universes within, between my ears. I make my fantasy a reality, kind of whimsy and creator, but also his fantasies are muscle-bound men, you know, telling these epic, if Old Testament level fables of good and evil, right?
Now let me throw you my ridiculous pick here.
All right, go ahead.
My ridiculous pick for Vince Mann at all ages.
All ages.
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey hasn't really done anything in a while.
Love it. Love it.
He's not done anything in a long time. He's like all bearded out and like chilling out in his like Canadian home or whatever. He's familiar with wrestling because, you know, he did do Man on the Moon, right? So, he's, you know, and I think he could just kind of do whatever. If we were going like back in time, we could just grab anybody. Charlton Heston would be my Vince McMahon of like dead or alive, right?
I'm going to let you know that your casting might not be far off. Because I didn't want to get into.
Do we actually have some rumors? Because I haven't seen any.
No. I didn't want to get into this, but this is like the real like tea leaves kind of reading.
Yeah.
So immediately when you see that this is a big name thing, these guys, the directors, Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, have done stuff in movies before, but they really are getting a lot of attention now because they did a show on NBC called This Is Us, right?
Yeah.
The movies that they did before, you'd want to look back at and see, okay, well, when they worked on movies before as directors, who did they cast? And so they did Crazy Stupid Love. So immediately you got to look at Steve Carell. You got to look at Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, yeah.
But here's what else they did. A little movie from 2009 called I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh.
Directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, starring.
I love that movie.
Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I love Jim Carrey as Vince McMahon. Love it.
It would be pretty friggin' awesome, right?
Absolutely. All right. So here we go. We're sticking with Carrey. All right. Carrey
I like it. I like it. Carrey all the way.
Carrey is Vince.
I mean, look, but Matt Damon, Gary Busey. That'd be fun, but
it's fine. Put him on the list. If Carrie drops.
All right, so Linda McMahon. I think we got to cast Linda, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. Do we have, like, young Linda? Because if a lot of the story revolves around that, then you got to have, like, a young Linda,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, like, I think if we're doing WrestleMania 1, the steroid trial, and the screw job,
sure.
Then you can aid, you can make up and maybe do a little digital like aging down. So I would say cast the same people.
Okay, so I got Sally Field as Linda McMahon.
Oh, Sally Field.
Yeah, this isn't a name that looks like rolls, like everyone's like, oh, Sally Field, of course.
Yeah.
Clearly. But when I was kind of like, there's like some, like I was like, okay, Jodie Foster would kind of be a thing. But Sally Field in, what was it, in Forrest Gump. I believe it was in where she played Forrest's mom.
Yeah.
Was awesome. As like that kind of like caring older figure. And I think you kind of have to cast her in that kind of role here.
I mean,
like she's
got to
like
of...
be like tempering Vince a little bit, right? Like Vince's craziness, whether that's the truth or not, not really my purview, but to make the movie work, I think people have to like, so like someone has to like love him, right?
Yes. Yes.
So yeah.
For us to love him, somebody has to love him.
Somebody lovable has to love him, yes.
All right.
Who do you got?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of Edie Falco. I think Edie Falco
okay.
is good.
Okay, oh, that's
good.
Not bad, yeah.
But I'm almost on the side of going a little bit younger. And you want to know what? I'm going to even stick to... I'm gonna stick to the... I Love You, Philip Morris cast.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Leslie
Mann?
Bibb. Oh, no, Mann. No, yeah, no, that's what I want. I wanted Mann, not Bibb.
Yeah, Leslie Mann, which is the wife of
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, Judd Apatow, yeah.
So Leslie
Dude,
Bibb
that's
was
a great
in,
pick.
But there we go. I like Leslie Mann. She kind of, because she can go a little bit older, right? She definitely
she can make
has
herself
that.
Look older. I mean, she's not like super young, but she's not really old, and she looks great. But she could definitely make herself look older.
Because right? Yeah, if you're gonna do something that spans all that time, sure. Right? And also, it's like, look at all the stuff that these guys did. They've always done comedy, so yeah, you're yeah, gonna yeah. need to carry comedy, which is why I love Jim Carrey, because Jim Carrey is gonna be able to make. You know, make him. He's gonna take all that inherent kind of funniness.
Sure.
Of
yeah, because like
McMahon.
if you watch like when Vince McMahon is like out there doing his character, you know, his boss character, like he really is hamming it up pretty
oh,
hard.
God, yeah.
So you gotta like, yeah, you gotta have someone who can ham it up real hard too. So yeah, and like everybody around him. I mean, that's what wrestling is. Everyone's sure. Freaking. It's like acting. Without the subtlety, right? They're just like, everyone just go. This yeah. is your character,
to 11.
Big as you can do it.
11, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Turn this character up all the way, please. All right, so I think we got to cast some very important younger people in his life, right?
Yeah.
So we should just start with like Shane and Stephanie. I mean, they're gonna be in there somewhere. You're gonna be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So I got for Shane, I got Ben Stiller, and this
I mean,
is
listen,
another, like,
you are definitely you are cranking up the DeLorean on some of these picks.
Really am,
all these people are over 55 years old.
Well, how old is Shane? Shane's not a young man anymore.
It's a fair point.
Ben Stiller still looks pretty young, so like he would be fine. I just think he's because there's a funny connection here because his dad was in show business before him, so now he's kind of playing. The part of, like, and look, he's going to have to, like, gray up the hair a little bit, throw a jersey on. But Ben Stiller can make himself look different ways. And yeah, like, he's also, and also it's like there's, like, a real life joke of, like, the kid, you know, moving into dad's business.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, all right there.
How big of a role do you think that is, though?
It's not a very big role.
That's not a very big role, right?
Yeah. No, it's not. I don't think any of like the yeah. I think a lot of these parts are kind of bit parts. But if they had like an ensemble cast for a bunch of bit parts, like how sick would that be?
Yeah, you want to know what? I would even here's I'm gonna go a little younger. I mean, he's pretty hot these days, and obviously you're gonna have to account for the schnoz a little bit.
Mm.
But I would go with Adam Driver.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. This means like you either have to make him look old as hell for like now, but that now is not really part of it, right? So you just have him be like
yeah.
Shane fighting like Kurt Angle and stuff, right?
I mean, and also it's like that very, Shane, very, very yeah. rarely do movies worry about like, oh no, this person looks too pretty for their age, right?
It's true. You know, and the thing is, in movies you also suspend disbelief. Like people don't have to look exactly like the person they're playing. It's
no.
That's to me like one of the things where it was like the thing of like and I know you didn't maybe like this. I don't know actually your take on this, but like Rogue One, Grand Moff Tarkin, right?
Yeah.
People were like, doesn't look real. And my response was, it's not real. This is a movie. Like it doesn't have to look 100% real for you to find enjoyment in it. And if you let something that looks a little unreal take you out of it, then you're missing the point. Like,
sure.
It's not a photograph of him, right?
I hated it, but that was low on, far down
sure.
on the list of reasons why I didn't like.
But
that
but
movie.
Like
yeah.
my like when people watch like CGI now and they're like it just doesn't look real. I'm like, yeah, but this is not real. Like this is the whole point. Back in the day, they would just hold a saucer in front of like a screen. And we would be like, oh, aliens. And like it's suspension
well, not,
of belief.
Not us.
Which allows you to get into the
we,
movie, right?
We,
so you got to
suspend belief.
We
weren't born.
People don't have to look
holding,
exactly right.
They were holding saucers in front of the camera. But theoretically, others were.
Yeah, but like if I go see a play, I just go along with like there's not even a guy there, right? And they're pretending there's a guy there, right? Like that kind of stuff. If you could suspend belief and just get into the situation that's being presented to you, then it's
yeah.
good. You're good to go. So realism is very low on my list of priorities
sure.
when I go see any sort of performance.
Got you. All right. Who else you got on the list? Steph. Who do you?
Oh,
like
Stephanie.
Steph?
Yeah. So I got Jennifer Lawrence as Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, that'd be great.
She's. I just like her a lot, and she's kind of intense. right? Like, if you've seen some of her stuff where she's kind of the carrying force of the film, she's really intense. So I think she could do some of that Stephanie McMahon just over-the-top crazy intensity.
I mean, well, here's the thing, though, about Jennifer Lawrence.
They don't look alike, by the way, at all, but...
No, but...
I mean, they're... Yeah, like, they have pretty faces, but I mean...
Yeah.
As far as, like, actually looking alike.
Here's the question, though. If you made this more of a love story between Vince and Linda,
mm-hmm.
I think she could play Linda.
Oh, that's not bad, too. You're right. Yeah.
As if it's more about two kids and a dream.
They look more similar, to be honest, but...
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, she is known as, like, the blonde, but she's had brown hair and a bunch of things,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
So.
I'm also just hoping that my safe search is on.
right? Yeah. When you're searching for Jennifer Lawrence picks, put
know.
Safe search.
You never know. All right. So there we go. I love that. I think that any movie that Jennifer Lawrence is in, I'm happy with.
Now it's time to ham it up a little bit.
Ham it.
I got Triple H. We're casting Triple H now.
It's cast Paula Levesque.
So, I mean, do you have an idea for Triple H? You got anybody for this role?
Oh, man.
I think, again, this is probably not a huge role.
No.
This is probably, like, he's in a few scenes. We obviously, like, make sure we know who he is and how important he is to, like, the future of the business. But he's not. He doesn't carry anything, right?
No, because to me, I would think, because, all right, so let's stick at our three main points idea, right? Then
sure.
your big wrestlers that we're going to cast are Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant. Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart. Triple H, right? And then maybe
Bret Hart. I guess you could maybe have an Undertaker thing happen somewhere in there.
Yeah, Undertaker cameo. Yeah.
Undertaker's
totally.
A cameo. But yeah, that's probably, and then maybe The Rock.
I mean, just
played,
just a,
played yeah, by The Rock
playing himself in a cameo.
Yeah, The Rock plays The Rock, yeah. Right?
But just people that were
I
there.
I have The Rock played by The Rock.
Basically, people that were in Wrestling with Shadows and people that were in WrestleMania 1.
Sure. Okay, so Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H is played by John Cena.
I love
John Cena is also played by John Cena.
By John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, to be fair, they'd probably have Triple H just play himself if he was, like, in a small part, right? Because he still looks like him. You know what I mean? Like, but the funny thing to me would be having wrestlers playing other wrestlers, right? So if you had, like, Triple H played by John Cena, and then you had, like, Andre the Giant played by The Big Show. And then you know what I mean? Like, if you had all this kind of stuff going on, it would be super funny. So I don't know. I would love to see that kind of thing happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see who they will cast as some of these wrestlers. Cause they're either just going to be nobody. Well, no, but here's the funny thing though, is that whenever,
Triple H played by the Drifter in chat. That's
whenever,
funny.
But people laugh, but it's like whenever you have a random wrestler played by other people in other movies, it's usually just indie guys that live in LA.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So the question
because they're
is not,
they're trying to become wrestlers and actors, like they're whichever one sticks, right?
The question is not if Joey Ryan will be in this movie; it is who Joey
it's
Ryan
who
will
play.
Who will
he be playing exactly? And that answer is obviously Ravishing Rick Rude, but you know, like there's gonna be some small bits of like what wrestling is, right? So there's gonna be some like you know who this is moments to the crowd where if you don't know wrestling, you're gonna be like, oh, it's a wrestler. And we're gonna be like, oh my god, that's you know.
All right.
That's
who else? Who else you got?
Okay. We have some other really important people, I think. So, like I said, John Laurinaitis is John Voight. That's who I had there. I'm actually gonna cast JBL.
I think that's a great casting, Tails.
I'm gonna cast JBL in this, and I don't think he's in it very much, but I want JBL in this movie. And that is Matthew McConaughey as JBL.
I mean, that's a hell of a cameo that you got for old JBL here.
Yeah. You got to look. I'm expecting them to shell out some big bucks here for all these cameos. But yeah, I want some Matthew McConaughey with the big hat on and the stupid suit. I want him saying maggle. Maggle, maggle, maggle. So yeah, I want.
All right, who do you like? Who do you like as Shawn Michaels? Because you got to figure that, you know.
Oh, crap. I don't have a Shawn Michaels. Oh, no. I've made a terrible mistake.
I mean, you said you had a Bret Hart. Maybe I can think of a Shawn Michaels.
I do have a Bret Hart. Yeah.
Give me your Bret Hart.
My Bret Hart is Brad Pitt.
Jesus. You said the cast of Ocean's 11.
You think that's ridiculous, but look at Bret Hart and Brad Pitt next to each other. And he could actually, like, give him the long greasy hair, give him the sunglasses, put him in a pink leotard thing. That wouldn't be far off, dude. Oh, in the chat we got Zac Efron as HBK.
Oh, love funny. Efron. Love
but
Efron.
See, look at that.
HBK.
See, now just imagine that's Brad Pitt's face behind that. It would actually be fine. The Miz as Shawn Michaels. I don't know if he could do a good super kick, though.
No, you got it. Because to me, Shawn Michaels is kind of that's a scene stealer, right?
Sure. Like, sure.
Because now at that point, right? If you're telling this story, the story of Vince McMahon is uncertainty becomes certainty, right? Or like a constant grasping for empire, and then the screw job is empire seized. That now you have conquered your final foe. That not even those within your organization can take down your organization.
Sure.
Forget outside people that want to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, so that's gonna make it tough to cast a good Shawn Michaels. I mean. You could go for like a Ryan Gosling as a Shawn Michaels if they've already worked together, some of these people in the past. How about like we just forget that they look alike at all, but you want a scene stealer, you get a Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell as Shawn Michaels. I know Sam can move.
Sam Rockwell as HBK?
Yeah. Ryan Gosling and Shawn Michaels ain't bad though, actually. I mean, they're pretty boys, right?
Let's see. Let's go ahead. Ryan Gosling. Let's take a look.
Actually, look at chat. We got Ryan Gosling and Shawn Michaels too right now. That's funny.
All right, here we go.
And he's still young. He's there you go.
Well, hold on, wait a minute. He's got the look. Yeah, wait a minute. Let's go ahead and see. Let's see whether or not it fits here. What kind of qualities do you think Ryan Gosling would bring to Shawn Michaels?
Well, I mean, obviously. Drives the girls wild. These are important things. I think also though he has that it factor, right? Like he seems like a guy who you just want to look at what he's doing, whether it's that interesting or not. And I don't think I've ever seen him in a role with long hair, but I'd be curious.
Yeah,
to check that out.
I'll tell you what, I think he could definitely. I mean, just imagine.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move.
Drives the girls wild, man. I'm telling you.
I
said chill.
Because that's going to be the story also for non-wrestling fans is Vince is going to be looking at Shawn as the new Hulk Hogan, right?
Sure.
He's the person that needs to be the new thing. Jack Black is Mick Foley. That's great.
That's pretty good.
There's some great picks here.
So I had a hard time with Hulk Hogan.
This is going to be a big casting. This is going to be a big, big, big casting.
I'll tell you like one of the other. Okay, sorry. I didn't have a hard time with something that I thought was pretty funny, which was Undertaker played by Vince Vaughn. He's a big, tall guy. He's going to have his, like, face covered most of the time anyway. And I think it would just be really funny. The buck in chat. What's higher, what Star Wars makes or what Till's pick for this movie cost? You know, though, a lot of times these actors will do bit parts for not that much. Like, if they think it's funny. If it's a big role, obviously, those guys get paid a lot of money. But, like, Matt Damon was in Eurotrip as, like, a weird punk rocker singing in a band, right? Like, that people just do this stuff. I know he's got the, like, sunken eyes, you know? And, like,
oh yeah,
he's, just mean, a, like, he's a big kind of awkward body.
Someone's calling Vince Vaughn into his office saying, Vince, can you roll your eyes in the back of your head?
Yeah. All right. Run your thumb across your neck. Oh, this is great. This is great stuff. Is he, like, in his old age, too? Like, the way he looks now? He's just a little bit stouter, right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I'll tell you what. Hey, look at here. He can play Kane too. Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right. He plays both brothers.
There we go. He can play Kane. Here's his newly shaved
this
head.
This is him and his Kane. Yeah, his Kane look. Running for mayor.
Oh my God. We haven't even talked about it on this show. We talked about it in politics. By the way, really? I put in an interview request.
Really?
For Glenn.
Oh, dude, please make that happen. Oh my God, that'd be fantastic. All right, so I'm curious what your take on Hulk Hogan was, because I ended up I was like going so far down the rabbit hole that I think I was getting a little delirious, and I just started being like, okay, let's just make this funny. But I don't got somebody because he's a tough man to cast. He's a very specific look, a very specific feel. As like, there's no other human being on the planet who's really like him, right? Unless
right.
you get another
here's
wrestler.
Here's what I think, right? I genuinely believe that Hulk Hogan, everybody that you cast as a huge wrestling star has to, in the movie, feel like a huge star. Like, there's a lot in for a movie like this,
they have to feel like they could carry a Santa with muscles, right?
Yes.
They have to feel like they could carry a Mr. Nanny.
What you
a
want,
suburban commando.
Exactly. What you want is kind of like The Aviator, you know, the movie about Howard Hughes. You cast a lot of big name actors in small cameo roles, like just so you would bring star power to the stars.
Yeah.
Right? In his prime, somebody that comes off as maybe a little bit insecure, certainly a jock.
We need WrestleMania 1 Hulk Hogan.
WrestleMania 1 Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Dills.
Who do you got?
There's only one.
I am a real American.
The casting
for
Hulk Hogan has to be the one. The
fight
only.
For right. Fight for your life.
Channing Tatum.
Oh my. All right. I'm on board, dude. I mean, okay.
I was thinking
we were going a Tom Hardy route with that, but you know what?
He's going to have to bulk
up. I like the Channing Tatum.
He's going to have to bulk up.
He's going to have to bulk up quite a bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
But, I mean, look, you know, you can do a lot with CGI after the fact. You can make people look a little bigger. You could do some widening of some angles. Maybe you could, tan him up quite a bit. He's already cut.
Yeah,
you know?
No, he was pretty big for what's it called? For Foxcatcher, right? Yeah, Foxcatcher.
Magic Mike, he was pretty big. Yeah. So yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the reason I put Tom Hardy is because he did bulk up for like Bane, right? So
yeah.
He already, like, we know he can actually get to that kind of size. But I don't know. I like the Channing Tatum, man.
So let's go ahead. All right. So these are a few names that came up for a lot of different roles in this movie, largely because they are people that you know can bulk up a lot. Let's throw Tom Hardy, obviously, into the mix, not only as an actor, but also somebody that can play somebody physically larger. And also, was it Tom Edgerton? Or Joel Edgerton? Joel Edgerton.
That's Joel Edgerton, yeah.
He was the other
Joel
guy
Edgerton,
in that Warrior movie.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Sure, no, he'd be great. Yeah, he could look thuggish, and yeah. There was also, what's his name who plays Thor?
Hemsworth?
Yeah, Hemsworth. Either Hemsworth, really.
Well, there's three of them. Pull it off.
Oh, there's three?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're like Baldwins, huh? They
just keep... Oh, dude, yeah, no. So there's Chris Hemsworth.
They just keep making more.
And then there's the other one that was in The Hunger Games, and then there's the one that's in Westworld, who's like, scrawny and weird.
All right, I got some rapid fires for you here.
All right, go ahead.
Just to fill out some parts that are kind of bit parts. Oh,
by the way, you realize that right now our podcast is just Let's Name Hunks.
1-900
1-900 Hunks.
Do you want to talk to hot hunks tonight?
$1.99. This is a whole nother thing. This is a whole nother 1-900 thing.
All right. I got Ted Turner.
Oh.
Ted Turner's got to be in here. Robert Redford as Ted Turner.
Can he do the accent?
I'm sure he could do the accent. He's Robert Redford. He can do whatever he wants, right?
Okay, Robert Redford, known for being a star, not quite known for his character work.
That's
right?
Okay, that's true. He kind of just plays Robert Redford. You're right. But I don't know. I think he can pull it off.
He certainly looks the part. You know, big statesman.
He's got the like look and feel of a Ted Turner, right? Like he feels like that kind of guy to you, you know?
Yeah.
Hey
Vince, I'm in the wrestling business.
Media mogul, right? But no, I mean, like there's plenty of good guys who could do him. I just thought he'd be pretty good.
No, that's
good. You know, it'd be funny. You know who can do accents?
Who?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh my God. All right. No, we're casting Christoph Waltz in this movie. Who is Christoph Waltz in this movie?
I mean, Ted Turner would be pretty good.
Ted Turner would be great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Vince,
I'm on board.
I have something to inform you.
That's very important to the Ted Turner, right?
I have recently purchased from Jim Crockett his promotion, and I am now in the wrestling business.
Have you tried the strudel? All right. Another rapid fire. Stone Cold, played by Vin Diesel.
Oh, Jesus.
These are rapid fire.
Dude, do Stone Cold as Vin Diesel and then let The Rock play himself so they can actually hit each other.
All right. Geraldo, played by Benicio Del Toro.
From the Interview.
Yeah, The Interview. Because this is another small role, obviously.
Yeah.
The Rock is The Rock. Oh, Hornswoggle, Vince's son. Played by Joe Pesci.
By Pesci. Pesci, he's retired. He's going to come out of retirement to play Hornswoggle.
We're bringing him out of retirement to play Vince McMahon's son.
That's great.
And that's all I got. I think that's all I got. Yeah. These are all the ones I got.
Dude, we got a hell of a list here. If you guys want to add to it, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com.
Please send in your castings. I would love these would be fantastic to get a few more on the show. Especially as we get closer to production, right? Like when we actually kind of know who's playing who and stuff, as this kind of more stuff comes out. Oh, I see you. Who's going to play Puke?
You're going to get sick?
Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the next big thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, I'll tell you what. I'm so excited for this because I think that it is going to be a kind of more fun, freewheeling sort of movie that has a little bit of a heart to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot or I Love Philip Morris, like I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a comedic movie that's got a pulse. You know, that has some emotional resonance.
It's true. I think it needs to have that feeling of like jolliness mixed with this is an amazing story of like overcoming the odds. Why do you think they always overcome the odds, Justin?
I know.
Because that is his story. He is just telling his story over and over in the ring.
Hey, by the way, Zane, I now want this to be an HBO series. I got news for you, friends. We got Glow debuting on Netflix. We've got the Page story already in filming. Who knows how that'll get released. We've got this movie now. Now, apparently this movie was circulated last summer. Nobody wanted to pick it up. And now it's on, like Donkey Kong, this year.
Sure.
Wrestling is hot again. We are.
By the way, that show would be way better than that stupid football show that The Rock was on. Like,
Ballers?
I mean, I tried. I really tried with that show. I was like, okay, it's like on after a show I like. I'll give this a go. And it was just never got going. Like,
a bit vapid. It's like finally, Entourage without the story. And
Entourage with like people who deserve to have money, I guess, was their idea. But don't. I don't know. Yeah. It was pretty bad.
All right. This is something that we like to do at the end of every show, and that is
My God, we've already got to the end of the show?
Yeah.
Dude, I had a game set up.
Oh,
it
really?
It's called Wait, Wait, Oversell Me. And it was going to be where I was going to tell you two wrestlers, and then you were going to tell me who would win based on the weight of their closest sibling's younger daughter's pet. And then we were going to find out.
Don't get hot.
How much you know about wrestling.
Don't get hot.
Jeez, damn, I can't believe we don't have enough time for that. Oh, well.
Don't,
next week.
Don't get Tara hot. we do like to play our game. Trey Warren, the genius, the melodica master, hastily recorded a bunch of melodica versions of famous wrestler themes. Here is last week's.
He's getting too good at him, dude.
Well, I mean, this is also this is a famous melody.
Sure.
You know, that was co-opted by The Undertaker, obviously. Yeah.
Well, so that first part is, if you listen to it, it's funny because they clearly went around some like copyright issues by just having a few notes not be quite right. And you notice them very much when you are paying attention.
Wait, is the funeral dirge copyrighted?
It's not like exactly the same as the normal thing. There's a few moments where they like go, they do something slightly different than what it actually is.
Yeah.
Not that opening sequence. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is this week's Melodica Challenge. All right, one more time. Here is this week's Melodica Challenge.
That is great.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
I'll tell you what, if you want to know and download the melodica versions of these, you can subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is where we post not only the answers, but also the files themselves. So you can enjoy them, put them wherever you want. If you would like the melodica version of The Undertaker's theme to play whenever your ex-girlfriend calls you, this is the way that you can do it. Head on over, become a patron, patreon.com/1900wrestling. And I'm starting to post these on my Instagram, Dills. Just the sounds to see if people can get them. I'm curious how many people get this one. But go ahead and check out my Instagram. That is Instagram Justin R. Young, as I am everywhere. Willie, where can people find you?
You can check me out on The Angry Chicken every Tuesday. We just had an episode. And on Twitter at Willie Dills, twitch.tv/WillieDills. By the way, I just looked this up real quick because I was curious. Based on Chopin's funeral march, it was a Jim Johnston thing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay. I was like, why is the Undertaker thing sound different if it's just the thing? No, it's like it's based on that. But yeah, check me out on Twitch. I'll be doing a lot of Hearthstone, and then I'll be at DreamHack this weekend. So I'll be streaming from DreamHack. So if anybody's going to be there, make sure you tweet at me. Come say hi. Let's hang out. Let's grab a beer. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Dude.
Be good times.
Sounds like a hell of a
Let's
time.
Not go to Wrestle Circus because I can't, apparently, because it's the same weekend.
Ah, boo. Boo! Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the Bay Area, I highly recommend that you go ahead and pick up tickets for the big APW show at the Cow Palace. That is May 6th. And what do you say you go ahead and make a weekend of it? I'm going to be at Hood Slam the night before as well. That is a hell of a weekend of wrestling. That is not this weekend, but next weekend. I think I'm going to have to skip Payback. Payback's in San Jose, and I'm not going to go to it.
Because, oh, man, wow.
Well, because there's just so much wrestling, man. We just got back from WrestleMania.
I know, yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, Payback will be fun. But Payback will be fun to watch just on the network, too, right?
I'm looking forward to a very quiet.
Yeah, just like a chill. There's like three matches I'm super excited about, and then like a bunch of stuff that I want to watch wrestling. Right?
Maybe a little stream or something while it's happening, but who knows?
No, that could be fun, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for this version of the show. Red light. Oh, Jesus Christ, that was a little loud.
That song has been heavily in rotation on my stream. Red light, green light.
Red light, green light? No, that's
Everybody
why I open every stream.
Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Green light, red light. Anyway, folks, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for 1-900 Wrestling. We will see you guys next week.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
Is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.